Gang, we all know that Spotify has become the ultimate app destination for music lovers. I have an account and I love it. I find new music by following Tastemaker playlists, and I make my own playlist that I share featuring music from guests that have been on the show. Well, did you know that aside from millions of songs on Spotify, they also have thousands and thousands of podcasts, including How Did I Get Here? They're all available on Spotify. Just go to Spotify.com or download the app from your app store and start streaming music and your favorite podcast today. That's Spotify, home of music and podcasts. Let's get down.
And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here? And now here is your host.
Right. Hello, I'm Johnny. I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I hope that you guys all had a great weekend, whatever it is that you did this weekend. Could have been crazy. Mine was kind of wacky. Played some shows. I will tell you all about it in just a minute. First, let me tell you, I've got a great show for you guys today. Jana Pocop is here. She is half of the band 123 Scream. A couple of episodes you heard my friend Mark Addison was on here. And they just released a brand new album called Lit. Came out on Friday. And so, yeah, you should check it out. You can go to 123scream.com. Jana Pocop is also an amazing songwriter. She does a lot of work on her own. You can find her at janapocop.com. Also, if you live in Austin, she'll be playing tomorrow night, July 18th at the Townsend as Shawnee Kilgore's special guest. The show starts at 8 p.m. Go to janapocop.com to find out all you need to know. Jana is an amazing songwriter. She also is a great music business person. And she has this this thing on her website called the Social Thinkery. And she wrote an ebook, and she helps bands kind of get their shit together. Like kind of what we do at Austin Music Foundation, but she does it on a private level. And she's worked with a lot of great bands, helping them get their social media act together, like Eliza Gilkison, Charlie Fay, the Mastersons, a lot of great people. And her ebook is great. She tour manages Susan Gibson, and she's constantly doing stuff, man. She is a definite, like, rock and roll hustler. I think she's a great songwriter. She's got a lot of music out there. She's been releasing these. She did a trio of EPs that are all available wherever it is you stream and download music. Her latest single, Lightning, is available on all the places where you stream and download music. Go to janapocop.com. Yeah, it's a fantastic website. And listen, let me tell you about this album, Lit. Just came out on Friday. It's her partnership with Mark Addison. They got together and did a song and then just organically started making more. And they released this great EP. It's fantastic. It's pop music with smart words for these weird times we live in. It is okay to scream, according to 123 Scream members Jana Pocop and Mark Addison. We'll get to this conversation, great conversation, with Jana Pocop in just a minute. Let me tell you my weekend. I played with Skyrocket on Friday at Pix Bar in San Antonio. Crowded show, crazy show. I am convinced that there is a serious swingers scene going on in San Antonio with the people that come and see us. I see some stuff going on that freaks me out. There's a group of people that all go together, and they come to these shows, and I've been watching them now for a couple years, and it's weird. So I'm picking up on this vibe. I've kind of heard about it from a couple of people because I've been like, hey, what's going on with this group over here? And they're like, oh, that's swingers. Like real adult swingers. I mean, they're like bankers and like real estate people. I'm sure they look totally professional. You know, they didn't even wear shorts. They're so professional, they didn't even wear shorts out. You know, those people that are like in their 40s and 50s and wear, like when they go out, they wear shorts. I can't stand that. If you wear shorts when you go out and you're in your 40s and 50s, it's okay because you listen to this show and I like you. But listen, just know that it's just weird. Anyway, so that scene was weird. There was a lot of people there, maybe more people than that place should have. It was a pretty small place, but it was a lot of fun. It was a good show. It was an extremely energetic show, but it was very packed. It was very hot and it was kind of insane. Went late, but a good time overall. Look out for that swinger scene in San Antonio. I will report back after our next show. I'm going to dig a little deeper for you guys, and I'm going to get into this weird swinger scene that comes to see Skyrocket in San Antonio. Saturday, I played my own show with my godson, Sean, playing percussion. We played at this place, Cenote, at Windsor Park. That place was pretty cool. I heard that it used to be a Franz, but when I got there, I was like, this place feels like it was at one point a Sizzler. I haven't been to a Sizzler in a long time, so I'm going to go find a Sizzler. Anyway, it was a great show. Some people came out and had a good time. That place is pretty fun. Sean and I played like a couple of sets. Sean does a great job of playing songs on the fly, singing harmonies amazingly. And look for more shows of me and Sean playing. In fact, I think we're going to be doing a September 14th date in Dallas at Opening Bell with Scott Collins again. I'll keep you informed about that. Don't forget to like our How Did I Get Here Facebook page. You'll be up to date on what's going on with all things How Did I Get Here. You will see photos of me with our guests, including today's guest, the wonderfully talented Jana Pocop. We have a fantastic conversation. She's an amazing songwriter, amazing singer, and her new band with Mark Addison, or her new... a new collaboration with Mark Addison. 123 Scream is fantastic. Their new album, Lit, is available now. Go to 123scream.com for all of your 123 Scream needs, and go to janapocop.com for all of your Jana Pocop needs. And I hope you have a great week, whatever it is you're doing, and enjoy my conversation with the wonderfully talented Jana Pocop. Let's get down. Never heard a dog howl like that when his mom and dad are there.
Yeah. Huh.
Jana, will you do me a favor? Let's just start off this show. There's been some controversy on the internet because your name was mispronounced many times on my last episode everyone.
Totally used to. Yeah, I was like, oh, Mark and I never talk about my last name. it's Pocop.
Okay, Pocop.
If you take the H out, it makes way more sense, but okay. There's an H in it for some reason.
This was not a name you gave yourself for a stage name, just like mine wasn't.
Exactly. Yeah, I bet you get the same thing.
All the time. But at least mine doesn't have some weird silent letter. Exactly. I mean, mine is like, if you can say out, you should you be able to say it. Gowdy.
Totally.
But alas, that is not the thing.
The Czech people, they like their like... I don't know. I bet
I figured that
in
you
the old
Czech.
Country, there's some like gross, like guttural something in there, but I don't know.
What do you like? Do you go to Weichel's when you're on your way to?
I have been to Weichel's.
To Houston.
Been to Haruska's, if that's how you say that.
Yep. Yeah, you should know that. There's got to be a. It's either Huska's or Ruska's. That's Ruska's. What I don't think. I think something
you're right.
Silent like
yeah,
yours.
I think you're. I didn't even think about the silent H there. Yeah. Slovacek's up on 35 across from Czech Stop. That's like a battle.
Oh, right. Oh, is it?
Yeah. Slovacek's is like new. Huh. And they thought they'd do it better, but I don't. Czech Stop's really good for kolaches, and the one across the highway is better for bathrooms. So yeah. You kind of have to.
Oh, it is?
Both. Yeah.
Hang on a second. Let me turn off this AC. I like the ready-made sandwiches at Czech Stop.
Yes.
I like their ready-made, because you can just grab it, because usually
golden.
There's a crazy line there.
And it's better than, like, those little triangle boxes you have to get at normal gas stations when you're desperate.
Yeah.
Those aren't even...
Oh. Well, you know, do you know Jackie Benson?
I know who she is.
She and I have this conversation about 7-Eleven sandwiches at the end of the night, and just, like, you can excuse yourself if you get one with, like, lettuce on it.
That's true. That's like basically a salad at that point. And if it's not totally all the way wilted, you've done well.
You've
you
done
know?
Well. So, Jana, man, I've been listening to your stuff. You make great records on your own.
Thank you.
Yeah. And the EPs that you made.
Yes.
And the last single that you released, which is Lightning.
Mm-hmm.
Those were made with a cat named... Daniel Barrett?
Mm-hmm. Dan Barrett.
Dan Barrett?
Yeah. I moved to town in 2006 and met Dan within the year and then glommed onto him. And okay. We've worked together for so long at this point.
And so then you had a tune and you decided that you hate Dan. No, I'm joking. No, you went to work with Mark Addison,
yeah.
Our mutual friend. And then you guys organically...
This thing happened.
Yeah. Tell me about it.
it was totally not on my radar. I think Mark talked about this in his podcast, which go listen to that. But I played his Tips concert
to this
series.
Show, man.
Yeah,
no, I I'm bet joking. You
know. He has a cool concert series, Tips Concerts, out there at his studio spot in the world. And I played this folk rap that I'd been doing for, the folk rap's a few years old now, and I wrote it. It's the weirdest song I do in my repertoire. But
it really stands out. People talk about that with you.
They do. Like, people, after a show, they'll be like, oh, I love the folk rap. And I'm always nervous to play it because I'm such a folky, and I get to play for people that come to hear folk music, and then I throw this sucker in
folk
there.
Folk rap
and
sounds like something my aunt would call to tell me about.
Exactly.
I heard this person. There's she sings folk rap.
It's a new thing. Yeah. Which is, it's totally not a new thing. I joke that I invented it, but that's not the case at all. You could trace that sucker back to, I don't know, talking blues or whatever. But I wrote this song. It took me longer to learn it than write it, I think. It's like so many words, which I like that. You don't have to edit anything. You're just like, that sounds cool. Put it in there.
Yeah.
And so I've been playing it for a while, and Mark heard it, and he's like, hey, have you put that on anything yet? And I said, no, it's too weird. And he's like, come over. So we had a fun time. And then we just kept making songs. He's like, do you got more stuff? And I said, of course I do. And you have a studio, so let's do this.
It
worked out so well.
It worked out really well, didn't it? Made a great record. It's called
Thank
Lit.
You.
This will come out next Tuesday. So when we're talking now, it will have come out last Friday.
So Lit's out. Congratulations, everybody.
Congratulations to you.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's you guys exciting. Did a great record. So Addison made it seem like there's not a lot of plans to go out on the road.
You know what? No. As I've been listening to this, like trying to make some videos and whatnot to promote it, I was like, this would take a lot of work to put together, like something that sounds like this record live. It would be a production. There might be smoke machines and like flying trapeze artists and stuff too, but it's a lot. We put a lot of sounds on that record, which is great.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you play those songs outside of the folk rap?
Money and Heart
Money
is
and
the
Heart.
Folk
Money
rap,
and
that's the last track on the EP. And I play all these songs live. They're all written by me on an acoustic guitar. And then I took them in the mark, and stuff happened.
Yeah, stuff did happen. It's really great. I really love
Thank
this album.
You. And he's so good about dealing with me. Like, again, I bring in, I'm like, strummy, strum, strum. And he's like, cool, let's just track that first, and then sometimes we take the guitar out altogether, or sometimes he weaves it in, or he hands me an electric, which is fun, and I get to slash away on that. And it was so we had a good time, and I hope that comes through.
It does. It really does come through. It's a good time. It's a nice summer jam. It's
good.
A good summer EP.
Our timing was accidental, but good.
Timing was right. You need It is smart lyrics, a little smart for a summer jam. I don't want to have to think too much. Neither do
That's
you, Jenna.
That's true. You gotta like repeat one line about 40 times for the true like top of the pop chart thing.
Or be talking about something weird. Like, I have this friend, you know, Franchise here in town. He's a rapper.
Oh,
he's fantastic. You'd probably
check
like him.
Out. Yeah,
he has a song called Hennessy and Horchata.
Awesome.
So if you make it about some kind of weird drink that will make you puke after three,
totally.
That's my song. Put a nice beat in there.
And that's exactly what we all want in the summer when it's 172 degrees out. So that's perfect.
That sounds good.
You want to like drink something and then throw up and then forget about it.
Do you drink? You don't drink? Do you drink?
I drink a little.
You're not like a party girl?
No, I'm not. I never was.
Your music doesn't sound like a party girl.
I'm glad I'm like steady on that. I don't deceive people.
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
Your branding is on point.
Yeah. It's a lot more nerd than partier is going on here. But
there's all this like folk stuff when people are talking about you out there.
Yeah.
And I hear you as like a pop person, as like what I thought of when I heard who is an influence on you, I read, but Sean Colvin, like Sonny Came Home or something.
Totally.
Or This Is Get Out of My House.
Ugh, I love that whole record. That was one of my like high school grounding albums.
Yeah,
so
that's a pop record.
It is. And it's still so good. It holds up.
Yeah.
I just saw Sean did her 20th anniversary of that show, album. Yeah, I went to that show at the Paramount.
It was fabulous.
Beautiful. So good. Yeah, I kind of think I went backwards with my musical taste in that in high school I was like this militant, hardcore, folky, like everyone has to write their own songs and everyone should play their own songs, which was good training, I guess. And then I moved here, met a bunch of Texas songwriters, which is also great. And we're real focused in Austin, you know this, about like playing what you write. But then somewhere Lady Gaga came out and I was like, I really like this. And I started diving into the pop world. So like late 20s, early 30s was my pop blossoming.
There was a good sort of like 2008 yes. to like 2013 before good the EDM kind of came in and janked everything around yeah. in a way that I didn't enjoy.
Now it's becoming a little like, yeah, everyone's got the like EDM beat happening,
but that's gone
their track
too. Now it's something else, and I don't like it now. What it's become?
It's weird. Like it's a sparse, like almost sparse with a chick singer on top, and like tropical beats, trop rock. I don't know. Yeah, I don't pretend to know a lot about pop trends, but
you dropped off. You're not like a Cardi B follower or something.
You know, I respect her, but I don't follow her.
No camera.
You know, mm-mm. Yeah. She's got a lot to prove still, I think. So
are you into rap? Because Addison made it seem like you were into rap. Now I've got it. Like,
like, let me fact check.
I have one thing to fact check, and it's Mark Addison.
When I say into rap, I do. I love it. I appreciate it. I listen to some of it. If we were to start talking artists and stuff, I would not have much to say. I'm not a connoisseur of the different schools of rap and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
But there's some, not so much anymore. There's some Kanye stuff I liked. Yeah. And
that last record is not, it's not great. This last one that came out a couple weeks. And it's not just because he's a, I mean, he's always been a buffoon.
Yeah, exactly.
He just made really great jams. So it was like, oh yeah, I just ignore him when I see him in front
exactly.
of a microphone and he's not rapping.
Don't read a Kanye interview, listen to the music. But yeah, the new thing, I laughed. He like apparently took the cover photo out the window of his SUV while he was driving. And he's like, there, that's good. Let's do that.
Well, there's people that say like, oh man, he sucks. He's like no talent. But you got to say like, look, man, I don't think McCartney would spend like a couple days in the studio with a total jackass.
I think, you know, we like to rip apart these people that are at the top, whether it's Kanye or Taylor or all these people, but I don't think you get that high up without being kind of awesome, you know, on some level. I mean, there's people that I would
suck.
Yeah, there's got to be those too, but I think Kanye's got like he's got a little bit of a musical genius thing happening.
In the folk world, Jana, do they view you as a pop person? Because I don't view you as a folk person. Your records don't sound folk.
They don't. Yeah, Dan and I even set out as the EPs progressed. The first one I did in 2008 was just me playing everything, whether it was good or bad. Dan's like, you're going to play everything on this record.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was an awesome experiment. Yeah. He's a cool dude. He's got a studio called Rubicon, and he's in the band Porter Davis. And
guy is he?
He's the lead singer, guitar.
Yeah,
awesome dude.
I didn't know his name.
Yeah, and so he's been just like almost a brother to me and a mentor. But as the EPs progressed, they got poppier. And the last one we did together, Throats or Quarries, was kind of getting to that sound that I was like, this is what I really like to do. But I can't let go of that writing with an acoustic guitar, Sean Colvin,
but that's okay.
Mary Chapin Carpenter thing.
Why is that bad?
It's not bad at all. I don't know how other people view it. That's the hard thing about this business is like everyone needs your like elevator pitch. And I know that's a pro thing to do and everyone needs it, but it's hard. So that's why we were kind of like smart lyrics and pop music for this one.
What's wrong with that?
That I don't think anything. I hope people from the hardcore folkies to the super cool kids that listen to Cardi B. I hope somewhere in there they can find something about 1-2-3 Scream they like, but we'll
I enjoy 1-2-3 Scream. People can find this album lit. It's available. Go to 1-2-3-Scream.com. This and podcast is over. No, I'm joking.
I like that plug. That's a good plug.
That was a quick plug, wasn't it? Well, yeah, pop music with smart words for these weird times we live in. it's okay to scream. Mm-hmm. That's a good credo.
Yeah.
Is that a credo, a motto? Motto?
Let's call it mantra, credo. I like the word credo.
I like credo
gonna
too.
Gonna use it.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mark kind of threw out the 123 Scream name. We were just, what do we call this thing? And I grabbed onto it and I didn't know why. And I thought it was more of that joyful, like, ah, you know, that's what pop music does for me when you like get a nice bass beat rattling your chest, you know. Yeah. You can't beat that.
It's summer jam.
Exactly.
It's example of that.
And then Mark's coming at it from like, there's a lot of stuff going on and we all want to like kind of scream into our pillows most of the time nowadays. So I think it plays both ways. And
it does.
Goes pretty well.
Plays well both ways.
Yeah.
So what are you, you're from Albuquerque?
Grew up in New Mexico.
That's sweet.
It's a good state. I didn't realize how different it was till I left it. Like I was one of those bratty teenagers that's like, this place is boring. There's like dirt and desert. And, I want to get out of here. So I just picked Austin basically to move to.
Why?
After college.
Of the jammers? Oh, what did you do in college? Where'd you go?
I stayed in Albuquerque. I went to UNM. For a kid that was bored with it, I sure did stick around as long as I could.
Did you get a degree?
I got a history degree.
Okay.
Yeah. Which, you know. It's a thing. It's all hanging on my wall.
Quick aside. Have you seen this? There's this movie with Paul Rudd. It's called The Catcher Was a Spy.
No.
I was thinking about renting that tonight.
The Catcher Was the Spy?
Yeah. The Catcher Was a Spy. And it's a true story about a guy that was a catcher and he spoke all these languages and he was a professional baseball player. And then he was recruited by was it called the OSS or something before it was the CIA?
Yeah.
And then they got him to try and assassinate a guy trying to build an atom. I mean, it looks amazing.
I need to get this. I don't know why I haven't heard of it.
I saw it on Amazon. You can rent it.
That's awesome.
It's like $6.99.
All right.
It's like one of those that's still in the theater.
You know, that's still cheaper than a theater.
So you got do you have brothers and sisters?
I do. I have two sisters and a brother, and they're all like, I was kind of the, mom calls me the bonus baby. But
I was like, surprise.
So they were all in college when I was born.
Oh,
so
no
I
shit.
Basically grew up as an only child with older siblings.
Yeah.
It was weird. And then I have nieces and nephews that are fairly close to my age, which is awesome. So, yeah.
I have an uncle that's 4 years older than me.
Really?
Yeah, I think that's cool. Yeah, that's cool.
I love hanging out with my nieces and nephews. Yeah. When you have to actually introduce, like, people get confused. They're like, this is your cousin, right? I'm like, no, it's my niece.
Yeah.
Which is great, but yeah. So they were all out of the house, and I somehow finagled my parents into a guitar at age 11, and started jamming in my bedroom. And here we are.
When did you take? And that's it. And now this podcast is over.
Now we're done.
When did you take it out of the bedroom? How old were you when you took it to the streets?
I walked out of the house, and lucky that the public high school in Albuquerque that I went to, not all of them, but this one, Manzano High School, had a guitar program. So I got to play guitar recitals, if you will, like starting at, I don't know, what are you in a freshman, 14? And our teacher would let us play whatever we wanted. So I was covering like Sean Colvin and stuff at age 14 in the PAC to all the parents, which is good experience now that I think about it. And then started playing open mics in college and stuff. And
how did that go? Did you get in? I mean, did you sing well then, like you do now? You have a great,
thank you.
You have a great like pop voice.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm positive. I remember my first open mic. It was at this grungy hippie coffee house down by the college called the Blue Dragon. That's not there anymore. And all my dorm mates they were so great. They're like, Jana's going to play. And they all came and they cheered. And I am pretty sure it wasn't worth cheering about. But
sure.
I did one song I had written at that point and some covers of things I couldn't remember what they were. But I think if I didn't have those guys, like, just being good friends and clapping, I would have been like, well, maybe I should like go study accounting or something. But they were so supportive so early. So
say you finished that show at the Blue Dragon.
Mm-hmm.
And when you finished, were you like, yeah, this is it.
This is
what I'm doing.
Yeah.
This is it.
I was super into it. I was doing homework just because it had to be done. I was a good student I have this thing in my brain to like be good at this. But every other moment was some sort of hounding down live music in Albuquerque which there wasn't a ton of, but or writing songs and playing guitar and jamming outside the dorm and all that kind of stuff. So it was a good college experience for getting a history degree while actually trying to quote-unquote study music.
When you came to Austin, was there any sort of like you went from like 0 to 60, like you moved to this place and here you are, and did you feel like you got your ass kicked a little bit?
Yes, which was good. The level of talent here, of course, everyone will tell you.
Do you remember who you first saw? Like the first person you saw here, you're like, fuck, man, I gotta go home and practice.
I had a cool little studio off of Lamar for like $415 a month, which doesn't happen anymore. And
what, that was 2006?
Yeah.
You're making it sound like it was like 90.
I know. Yeah, I feel like those old people with armadillo stuck in
there. It's the era of slacker.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Back in my day, and Cindy Cashdollar was playing at Maria's down the road on a Sunday or something. And I was like, this is what happens in Austin all the time. This blows my mind. But I had actually met Susan Gibson and Terry Hendricks, played concert series when I was in Albuquerque. And I glommed on to Susan especially. I was so drawn to her. And
do you tour manage her?
Yeah, I've worked with Susan for a long time. She's on tour right now, and I'm not managing that.
I noticed that.
I kind of started just showing up at her shows and offering to sell T-shirts and stuff because I thought that was useful, and I was like 22 and new to Austin, and I'm like, hey, what can I do? And then started traveling with her a little bit to do the merch, and then after a couple of years, she fired her booking agent, and she was like, you're a history degree holder. You can send emails. And so I started doing her booking. So that's been about 9 years I've done that.
Are you still doing that?
Yeah. I do her booking, and I do, like, her website, social media, all that kind of stuff.
Do you handle her publicity at all?
If you call it that, we're kind of a two-person team where it's not... Because
I've asked her to be on the show,
publicist.
And she said yes, and then it just kind of disappeared.
And then nothing happened. I can hook that up.
Okay.
Susan, you're going to be on Johnny's show.
Yeah.
She runs her own thing, and then I'm there to support, and that's kind of, I learned so much about the DIY thing just by working with her.
Yeah.
So.
I work with the Austin Music Foundation. I moderate like a lot of their panels and stuff, and it's funny, we did one on tour management. And one of the things that I brought up on there was that I've known a lot of tour managers. No one's like 17 and is like, I want to be the tour manager. It's like nobody said, it's like a job you just end up with.
Exactly.
There's no training. There's no training except you're just doing it.
No.
And before you know it, you're advancing shows and you're doing everything right because you just make a series of mistakes. Somebody yells at you.
Exactly.
Get your shit together.
Over the course of the time period you do it, you will get yelled at by all parties involved, including yourself. But I feel the same way about booking. I don't think anyone like lives in this world with a fierce desire to book. I won't say anybody, but
I don't know anybody that that's a thankless
it totally is.
That's a thankless, unless you get to do a band that makes a lot of money.
Exactly.
And you get paid a lot of money and you can go on a vacation to like a place where people go on vacation. I can't even think of one. That's how sad my life is.
Exactly. But where do people go?
I just went to the Bahamas, but not on vacation. I went to play a gig.
I saw that on your Instagram. That was
but
beautiful.
There were people there on vacation.
Yeah.
I saw them.
They do it.
They looked really happy.
Somewhere out there, people buy plane tickets and then they don't have to do anything.
But
when
it's
they
a
get
hard
there.
Job, man.
Yeah.
You know?
All that. Kind of the nuts and bolts behind all that stuff, you know. It's
Terry's always been a one person operation. That's a person
incredible.
You can go see.
Yeah. Terry's been a good just example too. And she's always been open to if you need anything, if you have any questions, like hit me up. And she's always been good about it. She's she's one of a kind, literally.
Yeah. I want to talk to you about this thing. Once again, I'm trying to find the name. It's Heart, Money and Heart.
Money and Heart.
Money and Heart.
Okay. Yeah.
It's not on there, but I remember. Money and Heart. This song, which is kind of the song that was the impetus of 1-2-3 Scream.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of talk about the music business and what people in our business, maybe people my age, I'm 49 and older, are like, oh no, man, I'm not going to put my stuff on streaming services. I read quite an interesting, like, you have a whole thing, social thinkery, which is where you consult bands and you help bands get their thing together.
That's kind of grown out of my work with Susan. I was like, well, I kind of know how to do this, so I might as well tell some other people how to do it. So that's social thinkery.
Yeah, you've worked with some great people. Eliza Gilkison, Charlie Fay, the Mastersons, all great people.
Such good people.
You wrote an ebook about that kind of thing?
It's a couple years old now. I've been thinking about, I should probably update it because the internet
changes. Yeah, those kind of books, you got to update like
exactly
at least once a week.
Totally. Like, well, Twitter doesn't exist anymore. But
well, it does, right?
It does. Twitter's still around.
It does for one person.
I checked earlier this afternoon and it's still there. But
I know Twitter's, it really is killing it for one guy.
And that's it.
It's just one guy that's like the Twitter jam.
Everyone else is just like, what is going on? that's such a just a cool part of how I pay bills is, I mean, you get to work with Eliza Gilkison, and I helped her crowdfund her new record that also came out last Friday on the same day as 1-2-3 Screams record.
Oh, Eliza's, I need to get her on the show.
Out. Yeah.
I've known her since I was a kid, man.
God, she's a beautiful human being.
Beautiful human being.
And the record's stunning. But that's a cool kind of, it's parlayed from working with Susan, like traveling in her van and going everywhere with her to kind of best practices and, these are all the mistakes I've made, so try not to do this. And plus, I'm a big nerd, so I like to read about all the new stuff the kids are using.
Yeah. Well, this is what I was going to get to. In this song, Money and Heart, you do talk about stuff that happened in the music industry. There's a lot of whining. There's a lot of like, and also like I was asked to play the Ham Day.
Yeah.
And I'm in the middle of this right now, and they're like, Waterloo wants you to do it at their thing as an in-store for your record. And I was like, I'm not making records.
for your
so
record.
So I don't know if they've got a thing with SoundCloud or Spotify or some
Could we
shit.
Just have lap?
But not to be a jerk, but like I'm making an EP. I don't have that money to lose. I don't have any more room in my closet from my last two records are in there taking up
Our closets match because mine are full of CDs.
So everyone
too.
Else too. Yeah. I mean, here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking I'll make a couple CDs or a couple VPs, and then I'll make a vinyl if that's still
that's
happening.
Awesome. Totally.
When I get to that point,
when the apocalypse comes, it'll all be vinyl. So I think it's good.
you wrote a very interesting thing, and I skimmed over it. I read some things, but there was one thing that kind of blew my mind because there was a thing. I'm going to go ahead and say her name because it was bitchy on my part. But do you know Julia Milanta? Great songwriter, great artist, a great friend of mine.
Yeah.
But she wrote on her Facebook, she wrote this whole thing. Oh, this guy, he bought my record. He heard my song on Spotify and then he bought my record. That's the way you're supposed to do it and blah, blah, blah. Mm. And then I just wrote like, hey, you realize that now in this day and age, people that book a podcast, people that book a venue, people that will sign you to their label, people that will give you a publishing company. People in this business are looking at how many streams you have.
Totally.
So when that guy, you might have gotten that $7 or however much money you get, and then now nobody knows how many, that guy could listen to your song 15 times a day. Imagine what that would do over a year on Spotify.
Absolutely.
So on this, you said...
What
you said, I think it's from her. As I said, I was skimming. And sometimes I'm a guy that'll read a headline and just make up a story
that
goes on with itself.
Dan Rather's like, so I'm quoting you from, no.
You're right.
It's a good thing.
Streaming pays better than downloads.
Mm-hmm.
Explain that so that people that are listening right now that are like, what did he say?
Yeah. I mean, if all goes well and you make a great piece of music and that people want.
Right.
That's step one. I mean, it all boils down to, are people going to want to listen to this? Say you've passed that test. Say like, they're like, cool. Somebody buys our 6-song EP for $6 or, sometime $5 on Bandcamp because we give you a discount. We've made $5 whole. We send our 30% to Bandcamp. So then we made what? I'm not good at math. $4 right. and something cents forever.
Yeah, okay.
And you get to...
Congratulations.
You get to have that record.
Right.
But if you're on Spotify and all those systems, we messed up because we let tech run ahead of like music law and all that kind of stuff in terms of how people are compensated. But it's slowly catching up and people are lobbying for Spotify to pay out more. But that aside, I'm going to talk about my love for Mary Chapin Carpenter. I listen to her music daily, and I have probably played the Come On, Come On record.
I don't think I've ever heard her in my life. Ugh, I know her name.
She's wonderful. She's one of my favorites. She's why I started playing guitar. But that record is so near and dear to me. I probably listened to it, I'm going to make up, 10,000 times. But I only paid her like $15 for it in like 1996. So if I were spinning that on Spotify, she would have made... It accounts for more because your potential for money is unlimited on streaming, and it is very limited on a download or a, you know.
That's what I was trying to explain to people too, and they get mad. Kimmy Rhodes, another friend of mine.
Yeah.
I did this record with her, and I have two songs on everything. I'm not putting my song on. So every record she's ever made, except for the one that I'm on, mm-hmm. is on Spotify.
Oh.
So I can't even listen to it.
Man.
But you don't have an iPod anymore. You don't, your phone, with all the pictures you're taking and videos you're making, you don't have room
exactly
to have your catalog of music on you.
You don't want to have to go, and then I'm a downloader. That was my little generation. And you got to like go to your iTunes, download the song, move it to your phone or move it to, you know, that's all
What's
done now
so
too.
So crazy. Yeah.
And they're going to stop selling downloads. That's the thing.
Tell everyone that.
Exactly.
Because I read that on there too, and I just wanted somebody else to say it that wasn't me.
Yeah.
They're going to stop selling downloads.
Apple's
they stopped
already
selling
starting.
2 weeks ago CDs at Best Buy.
That's right.
I'm going to do these sentences like an Hispanic person because I'm Cuban. I was this morning at Target, and I went to go see if they still sold CDs. Their CD section, I swear to God, is the size of my piano.
Absolutely.
Swear to God.
I mean, truthfully, when Best Buy said they stopped selling CDs, my initial reaction was, what? They still had them. I haven't been in a Best Buy in forever because I get all that stuff on Amazon now. The world is changing. And I know it boils down to we want the general populace that consumes music to really respect it and pay for it. But it's not going to be through how they acquire the music anymore. It's got to be other ways. I saw a great comment thread somewhere on Facebook this week where Steve Poltz chimed in, and he was like, I'm basically a fashion designer at this point. He's like,
I'm a t-shirt salesman.
All these cool things at my shows, and I don't sell CDs anymore. Yeah. And the dude's adapted, and he's brilliant. You know, he's doing it.
Well, also with Steve Poltz, this is the one thing that I have found in this over the ability to pretend to be famous and mm-hmm. successful. With my work at Austin Music Foundation, I've consulted with bands before that have come in and they've hired a publicist but haven't recorded music yet.
Wow.
And they're getting likes on their Facebook and they don't understand when I say, people don't really like you. Yes, they do. Look, there's likes. I'm like, what are they liking?
Exactly. That's...
You have to do something good. And what I'll say about Poltz, and I've seen him many times, been on the show a couple times, we're good pals. That dude, what he does is undeniable. He
exactly.
makes great music, and when you pay your $15 to $35 to go see him play, he is going to fucking crowd surf at 11 in the morning. I mean,
true.
You might think he's going to die at his at a guy with an acoustic guitar show.
Exactly. I saw him at Folk Alliance, and I thought he was going to break his neck because he was playing a set from the top of a folding chair.
This is not a lie, and I've seen him do it on a number of occasions in very weird, and again, once I saw him at 11 in the morning.
That's insane.
He puts that's the thing is, and just like you write great songs. You make great records.
Thank you.
I've not seen you live, but if you're not that good, sorry.
Never mind. This podcast is
well,
over.
I don't think someone like Addison would partner with a jackass. So
I would hope Mark has the anti-jackass taste.
And he
in
saw
him.
You. When he saw you, it was just you doing your thing on your own.
I tell people my favorite thing to do is actually playing guitar. Like I'll talk about all the nerd stuff and all that kind of stuff. But guitar has been my thing since I was 11 years old. So I hope I'm decent at it. But
you
I
are.
Really love to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's true. There's just you gotta get with what's rolling or you're gonna get rolled over. So like
that's the thing. That's the other thing is you can sit here and scream and yell. You
exactly.
can scream and yell that new people are moving to Austin and your favorite places are closing and it's more expensive to park. You can scream and yell about everything.
Exactly.
But it's still going to change, and you're either going to be a dinosaur on the sideline crying.
Totally.
Or in the game.
And I do feel, I think if you were in that magical 90s, early 2000s, like the internet was happening, so you could spread your brand a little easier, but people were still buying CDs. Like, those were gilded times, and yeah. you could middle class, you know, easily off of merch sales, and that's not happening anymore. And I never really experienced that. I've seen it happen for my friends, like Susan and stuff. But I've always been like, well, I barely make any money at this anyway, so.
Well, the Susan, because she did have what some would call a giant hit.
She did. Pretty big. Pretty big hit.
She is able to still sort of like, she has been able to like whatever she did afterwards built on that.
Totally.
That's the best thing you can do.
Oh, it's amazing. She calls it, she's so humble about it, but she refers to it as a really great like calling card. It's a good
initial. Is she one of those people that's, because Pultz, look at him. He had a great fortune.
Totally.
He built on it. He still plays that song, even at 11. I've never seen him play and not play that song.
Yep.
I hope Susan plays Wide Open Spaces.
Most every gig.
You
unless,
got to.
Yeah, unless she somehow manages to forget or, you know, but it's never like, she still loves that song. She loves the Dixie Chicks. It's all good vibes all around, which is such a cool experience to see, because there's so many bad music industry experiences that people have had
and
you
well,
can
it's
go
great.
Read about.
It's but. Great that someone was able to dip into the big machine.
Yep.
And like fill their bucket up with some money. To live
exactly.
on and do their thing, and then go back and be independent with that sort of like step up.
Totally. And Susan says
totally
this,
legit too.
But I would agree with her when she says this. Wide Open Spaces is not her best song. I mean, it's a great song and right. it tapped the zeitgeist. She's got
but
so
still,
many others.
We don't. You and me don't have a song that tapped the zeitgeist.
Exactly.
Yeah. But we don't.
Both of us, next week, both of us will be talking differently about this. I truly believe, Johnny. But right now, no zeitgeist.
Do you get your songs placed in things? You see,
that's
your songs seem like they sound good.
Thank
they
would, you.
I would put them on something if I had something to put them on.
Let's get something to put them on. That is actually, Mark and I went in, I told him, I was like, this is one of my super goals is like a film or a TV placement.
Sure.
I just think that's one of the ways you can go and work your music and not, you know, get out of all the other stuff we deal with the social media and the promo. That's just somebody put your song in a movie. I think that's a really great way to have your music working for you.
Yeah.
It hasn't happened yet, but we kind of, I won't lie, we produced this record kind of aiming for that. So
it has a vibe like that. I mean, you could, it
send
has
it around.
The songs have a vibe where you could put it on behind something and go like, oh yeah, that's what's going on.
That's
you
awesome.
Know what I mean? Yeah.
That's great. And I say we're going to send it around. I have no idea who to send it to, but we'll just like drive down Congress. And
send it to HBO.
Here's some
Dear
download
HBO,
cards. Yeah.
I know you guys make good shows. Great jams on your shows.
Dear Mr. HB.
Dear Mr. O.
It's hilarious. I'm going to try it. The weirder things have happened.
Do you have any? Is there any? Because I know that once again, there's not going to be some kind of giant tour coming up. But is... Is there some stuff, because your website is a countdown. When that countdown ends.
Tomorrow.
What's going to happen?
Great question. I think I'll be working on that. Actually, the record's already come out. So
well, I mean, is there going to be like a video for something? Is there going to be some behind the scenes of you and Addison?
I've got a lot of footage from the studio, and something I decided to do in, I think it was 2016. The years are all mashed together, but I did a vlog a week for a year, which was really fun.
Yeah.
I will not call myself a professional in any regard, but I like editing stuff together and making funny things about my life. And so I'm going to do a 1-2-3 Scream vlog, and then we've got some video stuff that will go with each song. If all goes as planned, each song will have a video within, you know, the month it's released in, but the Cold War song has a video, so that'll be around the internet,
and it's gonna be on Spotify. Like when people listen to this now, they can go to Spotify, look up 1-2-3 Scream, one word,
yeah,
and
squish
it'll be
it all
there
together.
Oh, let's talk about Chris Taylor. Because yeah. I totally didn't talk about him. And let's give him a shout out. Because this guy, if you ever come to my apartment, you see photos. There's a painting of me. There's that. There's that he gave me for Christmas. There's a Dean Martin that he did.
That is so
cool. I'm loaded
cool.
with Chris Taylor art here.
I feel at home. I met Chris at the Dripping Springs Songwriter Festival.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't know what I was going into because there's like 40 songwriters at this whole weekend thing, and I was nervous, and they put you in rounds with people you've never met. And the first round I played upon getting there was with Chris, and he plays a beautiful song called Not So Easy to Set Free, and I was like, oh, I'm gonna be okay. Like, yeah. Chris made that whole weekend. There was a ton of great people there.
Well,
but
he's also a guy like you that I think when I go and play guitar, I play a solo show, I'm a guy like that, is that I don't think Chris is necessarily like a folk guy.
No.
He's a rock guy that's up there playing, or like a Beatles guy with just a guitar,
totally.
Not a lot of guys up there.
He can handle it solo, yeah. And then he makes beautiful records down in San Antonio in his studio. But he makes beautiful art, and he's so giving, and he said, you know, hey, I like what you do if you ever need anything. And I said, actually, we need some art,
that's
Chris.
Interesting. He did a... He did my last poster for my 700th podcast. I'll show it to you when I'm done.
Awesome.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
He's just...
You hire him to do stuff, he's good.
Yeah, his brain works so quickly. I kind of said, oh, just run with it. And he definitely did. He nailed it.
Jana, what do you have planned? I know you're playing... Wait a minute. If this comes out on Tuesday, so tomorrow night... Wednesday, July 18th, you will be Shawnee Kilgore's guest.
Yes.
At the Townsend, 8 p.m. Going down there. Shawnee's a great person.
She's wonderful. She's one of my favorites in this whole dang city. She's doing this incredible thing where she's written a song a week for 57 years and or four. She has a lot of songs. And she's got a four-week residency at the Townsend. And she's not repeating one song all month long.
Jesus.
I know. And then she's having a special guest come. And she's going to learn one of my songs. And I'm going to play a Shawnee song. So.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. She's really made this a cool kind of... It's not just a...
Yeah. I did that. I'm not going to say like, oh, she stole my thing. Because she didn't know. I did a thing kind of like that at the Townsend. Or not the Townsend. Strange Brew.
Ooh.
Like 4 years ago.
I missed that place.
Where I had a person play before me, then I would join them on stage for a song, then they would leave, I would play my set, then another person would join me.
Oh, that's
I would,
awesome.
We'd do a song together, and then the same thing. Jettison.
Song chain. That's
song
great.
Chain.
Yeah.
Never, it's a seamless show. That way, everyone can play 30 minutes, and it's an hour and a half show for people. You don't have to play for an hour and a half straight. You know what I mean?
That is a smart move.
You don't have to sit through somebody that's playing an hour and a half.
All of us should Nothing steal your idea. We should all just steal the
I was
call
the first
the
person that ever had the 30-minute set idea. By the way, I don't know. You're a history person, so you might want to look into this.
We'll cite you as being the founder of that and put it on the internet, and then it's true.
It's about time. It is about time. So you've got shows coming up. People can go to JanaPocop.com.
Yeah.
That's a silent H.
Silent H. I'm playing around all summer, like Geraldine's, and playing New World Deli with Terry Klein, and I'm spacing on some other stuff.
Someone
but
was here that was talking a lot about New World Deli. It seemed like a good place.
Yeah. It's a cool room. I don't play there a ton, but I have. I played there with Nicole Wagner, who I think was just
she was
on
just
here.
On my... That's who it was. That's who it was.
She's
that
got
was talking
a record that just came out, too. I've played there with Nicole and some other folks. And it's just it's one of those Austin spots where it feels easy to be there, which is nice.
Yeah.
And they sell sandwiches, so that's a bonus. So you really can't lose.
I've only been there for lunch. I've never seen a show there. So I can say, like, wow, that is a good place if you go.
Absolutely. Yeah. If you can be a fan of the sandwiches and be like, oh, there's music here, too. Or you can go for the music. But
I have friends that are cops, but I don't think they listen to the show. But I'll say, sometimes I go places, and I'm kind of high when I go there.
Uh-huh.
And I think if I went to a place that had sandwiches, I might be kind of weird. Like, you'd see me, like, with a sandwich, and you see me with, like, some kind of, like, pasta salad.
You would
then,
just keep
then,
going
like,
up
pie.
To the...
Yeah.
It doesn't sound like a bad time to me.
No, it does sound good. Sounds good. So people can find you playing around tomorrow night. If you're listening to this today, that comes out Wednesday, July 18th. Shawnee Kilgore is a delight.
Yes.
And a fantastic song. What is it, her husband, Brian? Her boyfriend, Brian?
Will.
Will.
Yeah. William Wallace. He's over in England right now.
Okay.
Working, but Shawnee's still here because she's got chickens to take care of. So.
Oh, is she part of that urban chicken movement?
I didn't know it was a movement.
Oh, it was a movement.
Dang.
I don't know if it still is. Now she's cool because it's not just hip to do it. It's very Brooklyn.
Like, oh, I got urban chickens. I don't just have chickens. These are urban chickens.
Well, they live in the city.
We call them street chickens.
They have, like, knives and stuff. They used to be in gangs. They're tattooed chickens.
Now, I've just decided Chris needs to make a poster for Shawnee that's got street chickens on it, but...
Chris hopefully will be listening to this. He had a lot of nice things to say about the Addison one.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, Jana Pocop, it has been a pleasure having you on the show. Your music is fantastic. Everyone get out there. She's got a trilogy of EPs. Lightning, the single, is her latest single that came out. And, of course, 123 Scream, the album Lit, just loaded with amazing songs written by Jana with her beautiful voice singing them and the magic production of Mark Addison.
Thanks, Johnny. This is so fun.
Thank you so much for being on the show.
Absolutely. Yeah. It was my pleasure.
We'll do it again.
Let's do it. Yeah. In a beautiful machine, we can scrape
stuff out of mountains to power this. Jana Pocop, her new band 123 Scream, their album Lit came out last Friday, July 14th. Her partnership with Mark Addison, you can find them at 123scream.com. Or you can also go to JanaPocop.com and find out all you need to know about Jana Pocop. She'll be playing tonight, if you're listening to this, the day that it comes out. Tomorrow night, Wednesday, July 18th at the Townsend at 8 p.m. She is Shawnee Kilgore's special guest, and she will be doing it up there. I really enjoyed talking to Jana and getting to know her. She's a very cool person, a great songwriter, and she's got a gorgeous voice. I really do love her voice. Check out her social thinkery. Check out her ebook. She's a person that's very on top of the changes in this music business and this roller coaster that we all ride. And don't forget, when you're out there riding the roller coaster, to JanaBocop.com. You can always subscribe to this podcast on Spotify, iTunes, Apple Podcast app, Android Podcast app, Stitcher, wherever it is that you find podcasts. You will get a new show every Tuesday and every Friday, me talking to someone else. Like our Facebook page, you'll see a photo of me and Jana there talking. Let's hear some more music from this fabulous album Lit by the band 123 Scream. Have a great week, whatever it is you do with your week. I don't know what it is that you do, but do it and put your heart into it or put something else into it. Let's get down.
It started with your heartbeat, reflecting off of mine. And if you feel it before eyes meet, you better take it as a sign. So we share a skinny sidewalk, and you talk with your hands. We cover every city block in a tunnel vision kind of trance. I already know, and you know too, they'll make movies about this. Plot twist, 18 hours to a first kiss. We found an empty diner, made sculptures with the straws. And midnight came as a reminder,
and midnight came,
that we were falling in like jigsaw. So we crashed an empty city park, back and forth in third degrees, throwing stones into the dark and yelling wishes to the trees. I already know, and you know too, they'll make movies about this. Plot twist, 18 hours. Tried on the thought of you as mine. At the top of the park. trying to act tough. You leaned into my dizzy space, whispered enough is enough is enough. I already know and you know too. They'll make movies about this plot twist. 18 hours to a first kiss. I already know and you know too. They'll make movies about this plot twist. 18 hours to a first kiss. To a first kiss. First kiss.